أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا بالقاسم محمد. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، ولعنة الله الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بأبي عبد الله الحسين عليه الصلاة والسلام. A grand night, no less than the night of Qiyamah for the family of Imam Hussein. It was this night which was longed for by Zainab, that it should not end. It was on this night that they had their most beloved Hussein, and after this night they would lose him and give him away. And give him away and never to see him again. But this great lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite not having anything had everything. As Musa approached in the court of Fir'aun, Imam Ali narrates in one of his khutbahs that when Musa appeared in the court of the great Pharaoh, the Pharaoh was sitting on his throne. Musa appeared with a broken staff, wearing garments made from the skin of sheep. Musa stood there and he said to Fir'aun, "O Fir'aun, believe in Allah and I guarantee you the continuity of your kingdom." Fir'aun looked at Musa for a moment, then he looked around and looked at his ministers and looked at those gathered in his court. "Do you not see the audacity of this man? Look at him. He is carrying a staff, and even the staff is broken. He is wearing garments made from sheep's skin, and he stands there, and he has the audacity to tell me that if I believe in his God, that I will have my kingdom perpetually, and if I disbelieve, it will be taken away from me. Oh Musa, if you were truthful, then why has Allah not showered you with gold and silver, with rubies and diamonds? Why are you not escorted by the armies of angels?" What did Musa have? What did he have? A broken staff? Imam Ali says, "If I were to talk to you about these prophets and their state of abstinence and their simplicity, then hearing about them would cause you pain in your ears. And if you were to see them, it would pain your eyes." He says, "Look at Jesus, Isa. He took as his slave his two hands, as his mount his two feet, as his covering the darkness of the night, has his bed, the cold earth, has his pillow, the hard rock. He did not marry so that he may not be distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the prophets who possessed nothing. What did they have? Neither did they have armies, nor did they have gold, nor did they have silver, nor did they have mansions and castles. What did they have? They had only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Hussein ibn Ali says in Dua Arafah, O Allah, what has he gained, the one who has lost you? And what has he lost, the one who has gained you? What did these prophets have? They did not have the riches of this world, the kingdom of this world. All that they had was Allah. All that they had was their faqr and poverty. As Hussein says in Dua Arafah, O Allah, I seek intercession with you through my state of need of you. And can I seek intercession through anything else when I do not possess anything but poverty to you, my dire state of need and faqr to you? Have a look. Look at our state of need to Allah. If this room were to be dark, would we see anything? If we switched on the light, would we see it? Allah creates us, we come into being. Now, for us to continuously see it, do we need a constant supply of light? This is our need to Allah, that every moment, every breath, we are in a state of faqr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hussein had nothing. Hussein simply had Allah. He had no power of this world, yet he sees the grand army and cries out, there is no power, there is no might save with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What didn't Umar ibn Sa'd have? What didn't Yazid have? What did Hussein have? Where is Umar ibn Sa'd? Where is Yazid? History cannot forget Hussein because he acknowledged his state of faqr and need to Allah, gave everything away, and in return he got the undying power of Allah. He gave the life away, and in return he got the unending life of Allah. He gave the arms of Abbas away, and in return he got the unending strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't Allah say that he is the treasure of those who do not have anything? Doesn't Allah say that he is the aid of those who are weak? Doesn't Allah say that he is the support of everyone who seeks support? He is the friend of those who are in need of a friend. He is a companion of those who are without any companion. He attained Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His journey was a journey of love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that dua of his, Dua Arafah, in the second part of this dua, we understand that it was not he who was saying it. It was the inspiration of Allah falling upon his heart. He looks towards Allah, and look at the beauty with which he talks. He says, O Allah, what sort of Allah are you that you give to me before my need? Before you bring me into this world, you provide the shining sun. You provide the raining clouds. You provide the growing earth. Before I find teeth, you provide the food for me. Oh Allah, what sort of Allah are you that before I ask, you give to me? And then when you say to me, who is the one who shall lend me of their wealth? At that moment, I with a heavy heart, unwillingly, I give in your way. You smile and you accept. You multiply 10 times over. You thank me and you give it back to me. That which was yours in the first instance. He says to Allah, Allah, when were you far that I needed to come close to you? You were always near. It was I who could not see you. O Allah, when were you hidden that you needed to be seen? Blind are the eyes that cannot see you watching above them. O Allah, I am the ignorant despite having knowledge. O Allah, I am the needy despite possessing everything. He talks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and eulogizes to Allah. His heart is being prepared for his final meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the people who are with Hussein and their state of love for Hussein ibn Ali. Look at how they're drowned in Hussein. On this night, he extinguishes the candles and he says, leave whoever wants to leave. The candles are relit. What does Hussein see? He sees his Sahaba and the members of his family with their swords drawn and placed at their necks, and they are saying, oh Hussein, if you are in doubt as to our loyalty, command us and we will behead ourselves and place our heads at your feet. Hussein said, oh people, but by your death they will not spare me, but by my death you can be spared. Muslim ibn Awsajah cried out, oh Hussein, tomorrow we shall fight your enemy with our swords. When our swords break, we shall fight them with spears. When our spears break, we shall throw stones at them. When stones finish, we shall fight them with our hands. When our hands are cut from our bodies, when our heads are dissected from our bodies, we will wish from Allah that we are cut into thousands of pieces. And after being cut, if we are burned and then our ashes are scattered in thin air, we shall ask from Allah to revive us 1,000 times over so that we may die for you 1,000 times. Look at the resolve of these people. When Muslim ibn Awsajah falls on the day of Ashura, Habib ibn Mawahir with Imam Hussein, they arrive. Habib looks at Muslim and he said, even though I know that I shall soon follow you, but do you have any last request? Muslim, on his dying final breath, he points his finger at Hussein and he says to Habib, alayka bihada shakhs ma dumta hayya. Oh Habib, so long as you're alive, safeguard this man. On the day of Ashura, when some of the Sahabis, when they found themselves surrounded by death, fear overcame them. They looked at Imam Hussein, Hazrat Abbas, Hazrat Ali Akbar, Hazrat Qasim, and they saw contentment and serenity on their faces. They saw light emanating from them. They saw a smile on the face of Hussein. And they said to each other, look at Imam Hussein. He's surrounded by death and look at how he smiles. They went to him and he said, oh people, it is the meeting with Allah. On the night of Ashura. And look at Bibi Zainab. Look at the way she strove to save her Hussein. My Hussein will go, no doubt. But he will put up a fight that you have not witnessed before. His blood will not be spilled in vain or with such ease. Look at Zainab. It is said that when Ali Akbar fell, Hussein struggling to his body, unable to see anything, at times crawling, he goes to Ali Akbar's body and he finds a veiled woman lamenting. Who are you, O woman, who is crying on my Akbar? She unveils herself. It is I, oh brother. You're saying that. All of a sudden, Hussein is distracted from Akbar. Escorts her back to the tents. Sheikh Abbas Qumi says that Zainab only did that because she knew that if Hussein were to see the dagger implanted in Akbar's chest, at the sight of that he may lose his life, in order to distract her Hussein, so that Hussein may not die at the scene. And it is said that when Hussein carried back Aun and Muhammad, it was customary on that day for Zainab to be in the front, and rest of the women would follow Zainab in greeting the Shuhada. Hussein looked towards the right and the left, but he could not find Zainab. Sheikh Abbas Qumi again says that Zainab did not wish to embarrass Imam Hussein, lest Hussein feels embarrassment that her sons were killed for him. Such was the resolve of Zainab. On the night of Ashura, Bibi Zainab, on this night, feels that she should go and visit her brother. She goes to the tent of Imam Hussein, and she finds the tent unguarded. Within herself, she thinks, I shall go to Abbas and taunt him, and I shall go to Habib and taunt him. How could you abandon my brother on such a night? He requires guarding and protection. As she is coming back in a rage, thinking within herself, she finds the sound of humming and talk coming from the tent of Abbas. She turns the cloth, and what does she find? She finds Abbas on his knees like a raging lion, holding his sword and polishing it, and Bani Hashim circling Abbas. And Abbas calls out, O sons of Hashim, what do you intend to do tomorrow when the battle commences? And they said, O master, it is you that we shall follow, whatever you say. And Abbas said, beware, none of the Sahabi and Ansar of Hussein should die before you. You will be the first ones to give your life, lest anyone says that Hussein favored his family above his helpers. When Zainab heard this, she was overcome. She began to tear. As she was retreating, she found similar noises coming from the tent of Habib. She turned the cloth, looked inside, found Habib in a similar manner, polishing his sword, and the Ansar rotating around Habib. He cried out, O Ansar, why have you left your families? Why have you left your countries and your hometown? And they said, O Habib, O master, whatever you say, we shall do. What do you intend to do tomorrow? Whatever you say, O Habib. And Habib said, beware, none of the family of Hussein should be killed before you, so that no one may say that Ansar preferred their lives above the lives of the family of Al-Hussein. Zainab, overcome, was tearing, and as she was retreating, she finds the light of her eyes, Imam Hussein advancing. As soon as she sees Imam Hussein, she wipes her eyes. As soon as Hussein sees her, she smiles. When she smiles, Hussein asks her, but O sister, what is the cause of your smile? You have not smiled since we left Medina. And Zainab explained to Imam Hussein that this is the cause of my smile. And Hussein said, O Zainab, do you wish to see what sort of Sahabi these are? And she said, yes. Hussein assembled the Sahabi. He said, O Abbas, O Habib. Abbas came running. Yes, master. And Habib came running. And the Ansar and the Hashimites came behind them. He opened the heavens for them. And he said, look towards the heavens. When they looked towards the heavens, they saw their lofty ranks with Allah. They all said, O master, permit us to go right now and give our lives for you. And Hussein said, O people, the time is yet to come. Then he turned to Zainab and he said, O Zainab, death is more closer to them and more sweeter for them than is the bosom of a mother for a suckling child. Then Hussein called out. He said, O Ansar, those of you who have your women with you, take them back to the qabila of Bani Asad, because my women after my death will be made captives. Ali ibn Madahir, he goes into his tent. His wife asks him, "Oh Ali, what did the master say?" And he said, that take your wives to the qabila of Bani Asad, for my sister will be captivated, will be made a captive. So she said, "What do you intend to do?" And he said, "I intend to take you to the qabila of Bani Hashim." She in grief started banging her head with the pillar of the tent. She said, "Oh Ali, you have not done justice. Shall you fight alongside Hussein? And shall you prefer the wail of your wife above the wail of the daughter of Fatima? Go and give your life for Hussein, and let us be with Zainab." We find a narration that Nafi bin Hilal bin Nafi, he says that I saw Hussein going out into the battlefield on his own. I thinking that he may be attacked, I followed him. As I followed him, he looked back and he said, "Oh man, why do you follow me?" And I said, "In order to protect you." Imam said, "Come with me." I asked, "What do you do, O master?" He said, "I'm inspecting the land of battle for tomorrow." We walked in a place. We walked until Imam Hussein could not control himself. Overcome by grief, he stood in a place and began to tear. I said, "Oh master, what is this place?" And he said, "Here will be cut the arms of my Abbas." Then he walked and he fell on a place. And I said, "Oh master, what is this place?" He said, "Here my Akbar shall fall and a dagger shall be implanted in his chest." Then he got up and he walked in a shallow place. When he was about to descend, I heard the cries and wailing of a woman. And I asked, "Oh master, who is this woman who cries?" And he said, "It is my mother Fatima. And this is the place where your imam shall be brutally slaughtered on the day of tomorrow." Imam Hussein, he said, that as the Asr of Ashura drew, you find the scene of an old man covered in wounds, raising the warmth of the lap of Rubab in his hands towards the scorching sun, calling out and saying, "Oh Allah, this is the final offering that Hussein has to make for you. Oh Allah, accept this offering and conclude Hussein's battle." Hussein is talking with Allah that an arrow tears apart the air, approaches the tender throat, and slits the throat of Ali Asghar from one ear to another. Ali Asghar turns and rotates on the hands of his old father. The grief and the shock of the scene is such that Hussein for a moment loses consciousness. Unaware of what has happened, suddenly the warmth of the blood of Ali Asghar drips in the palms of the hands of Al-Hussein. And the warmth of the blood makes Imam Hussein aware that Asghar has perished. He looks towards the sky, and the skies turn their face. He looks towards the earth, and the earth shudders. He takes the blood of Asghar and colors his white beard with it, as if Imam Hussein is beautifying himself with the blood of Asghar for the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Hussein's arms are trembling. He advances forward, stops, retreats, stops, advances. His hands tremble, unable to control himself. "Oh Hussein, how heavy is your Asghar? Why do your hands tremble so much? Oh Hussein, have you not carried back the pieces of Qasim? Oh Hussein, did you not carry back your Akbar? Oh Hussein, did you not carry the arms of Abbas? How much weight does this little son of yours have? Why do you tremble so much? Why do we see your resolve wavering? Why do you not advance? And Hussein looks at us and he says, oh man, you do not understand. I have promised the mother of this young child that I shall quench your Asghar and bring him back to you. How shall I hand over this child to her?
على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة.